O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. I want us to think for just a minute about how quickly news spreads today versus how quickly it spread in the ancient world. I don't need to tell you how quickly news spreads in our time. Sometimes I find out what my siblings are up to through Facebook before I ever speak to them on the phone. In fact, sometimes I see what they're doing on Facebook, then I give them a call. About a month ago, I got a text from my sister around 8:30 on a Saturday morning and found out that two of her adult children were in the area. My one niece lives in Dallas, Texas, and the other niece lives in Nebraska. So Sarah and I decided on the spot, we better go see them. If we cleared our schedule and made this trip, it gave us the chance to renew our relationship with them. And it would be quite a long time before I got to see all of them together in one place. And so on that text on a Saturday morning, my sister didn't even have to call each of her siblings and get a yes or a no. She just put out the information. We can do that in our world today. Even 100 years ago, you couldn't make a turn on the dime of your schedule on a Saturday morning to do that kind of thing. It just couldn't happen. Well, and today, in today's gospel reading in Acts 4, we hear about Peter and John as they're being released from prison, and they go to fellow believers and they tell them what happened. As they were arrested in prison and interrogated, they not only summarize what happened to them, but also they sought the face of God in prayer. So 2 points I want to make this morning is how the church prayed to the Lord and how the Lord answered their prayers. So first, how the church prayed to the Lord. What was the apostles' reaction to the Sanhedrin council's ban and threats? We hear in Acts 4:23 and through 26 these words. When they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Notice that the apostles reported to the gathered believers what happened in Acts 4:23, and the rest of this passage, at least verses 24 through 30, is a written record of how the apostles prayed. So under how they cried out to the Lord, my first point is they cried out to the triune God and rehearsed what God had done for them in the past. Prayer is a Christian believer talking to God the Father through Jesus Christ, his Son, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And within this definition of prayer, we know that we come to God through the revelation of his written word, which shows us who God is. That God is one God in three persons. And this prayer shows that and reveals that. In Acts 4, we hear the apostles addressing God as the Lord who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. And while it is true each member of the Holy Trinity was active in the creation of the world, we have good evidence within this passage that the apostles were addressing God the Father as the creator of heaven and earth. The reason I say this is due to their quotation from Psalm 2, that the kings of the earth and the rulers were gathered against the Lord and against his Christ. As the apostles apply Psalm 2, they're seeing Psalm 2 as a prediction of the death of Christ, who was sentenced by Herod and Pontius Pilate. They emphasize that the death of Christ, who God the Father anointed as Christ, showing explicitly the relationship between God the Father and his Son. They also show the universality of all peoples who were guilty in the death of Christ. For it's both Herod and Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, who called for the death of Christ. It was the religious leaders in Israel who stirred up and agitated the crowd, and the crowds themselves cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Pilate and Herod consented to Christ's death. In this prayer, the apostles acknowledge that the death of Christ was foreordained and predestined by God. And so Jesus did not go unwillingly or blindly to the cross, but willingly, knowing it was the path chosen for him by God the Father to make redemption for sinners. In this prayer, then, it is a petition to the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and an acknowledgement of the work of the triune God on behalf of his people. In this prayer, Peter and John have spoken of God the Father and God the Son, but they also speak of God the Holy Spirit. In Acts 4:25, they attribute Psalm 2 as the Psalm of David, who is the human author, the instrument that God the Holy Spirit spoke through as he was writing this psalm, the statement, "Who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said." What we have then is an affirmation that Scripture is the written word of God, in which God speaks as the primary author and moves upon the hearts of chosen men to write down God's word to us and for us. Simply put, when Scripture speaks, God speaks. The apostles themselves were speaking these words written down here by Luke, who was also inspired and led by God to write down the proper interpretation of Psalm 2 as it relates to the Lord who suffered and died for sinners and the opposition of the world to God's Messiah, his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus. In this prayer, then, the apostles call upon God the Father through the person and work of Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit, as God's Spirit caused the Scriptures to be written for our health and spiritual salvation of our souls. The apostles spoke God's word back to God as they prayed to him. And in these verses, they speak about the activity of God, that God made heavens and earth, that God said through David his servant, and that God predestined and chose the saving work of Jesus, which was his eternal purpose. And so we see the works of God in creation, in revelation, and in history. J.I. Packer said this concerning God's work of providence within human history. Quote, "The doctrine of providence teaches Christians that they are never in the grip of blind forces such as fortune, chance, luck, or fate. All that happens to them is divinely planned, and each event comes as a new summons to trust, obey, and rejoice, knowing that all is for one's spiritual and eternal good." And so even as the death of Christ was predestined according to God's plan, even as the apostles pray, we can also see that their imprisonment is within the scope of that same divine work. And so the apostles endured a time of great distress and trauma as they prayed to the Lord and sought his faith to be his faithful witnesses. Our Lord Jesus had predicted times of distress and trouble for the apostles and other Christian believers because of their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. For Luke 21, verses 12 through 15, Jesus says this: "But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you, delivering you to the synagogues and prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. It will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. So make up your minds not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves, for I will give you utterance and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute." And so within the scope of God's providence, we have the apostles being persecuted, being interrogated. And yet they do not look upon that as just an injustice done to them, but a part of God's plan. And so they prayed to the Lord, thanking him for his past work, but also praying to the Lord regarding their present circumstances. After they praised God for his works of creation, revelation, and working within history, the apostles make some petitions to the Lord in Acts 4, 29 and 30, which says this: "And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." Their requests were, consider their threats. Did they mean by this petition that they were asking for justice and an end for persecution? It seems that instead of the church praying for relief from persecution in the face of threats of violence and from the relief from the civil and religious authorities, they acknowledge God's sovereignty and control in the midst of this situation. And instead of asking for physical safety, they ask for greater boldness to testify to the truth of God's word and gospel. And that's interesting, because I think for you and me, probably the first thing would be on our mind is, Lord, I'm glad I got through that, but don't let it happen again. I don't want to be physically unsafe. I don't want to be under the gun. And we're intimidated by being questioned and realizing that we're before people who could imprison us, beat us up, put us to death. And yet they don't pray for physical safety. What they pray for is greater boldness. Again, that's holy courage in the face of trauma. And so they pray that they would be able to speak God's word with all confidence. And even as we sit here within this slice of human history, while we have religious freedom, many Christians around the world do not. And they are under this precise circumstances of wondering whether today will be the last day of their lives because of the great threat that they're under. And so we pray for God's people throughout the world, especially those that endure persecution. But they also pray that God would extend his hand to heal with signs and wonders through Jesus Christ. Note that the signs and wonders that the church prays for is not an end in themselves, but in order to give boldness to the preachers to confirm the truth of God's word which they proclaimed. Now, having talked about how they prayed to the Lord, let us next see how God answered their prayers. The first thing that happened is that when they prayed, the place was shaken, a visible sign of God's presence among them. Just as God gave physical signs on the day of Pentecost, God displays his power in answer to his people's prayers. And so God grabbed the people's attention by shaking the place in which they were meeting. The next thing that happened is they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Even as the apostles were filled on the day of Pentecost and other believers gathered in that upper room, so again here in Acts 4, the people are filled with the Holy Spirit. There is one baptism of the Holy Spirit for all Christians that happens at the beginning of a Christian's life. But above and beyond that one baptism, there's also many fillings. Ephesians 5:8, in essence, the Apostle Paul says, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. It does remind us that we need God, the Holy Spirit's constant enabling for us to bear witness to the truth of the gospel. And so one baptism, many fillings. There will be more episodes of imprisonment and persecution throughout this book of Acts. And while God has never promised our physical safety and security in this age, He does give us everything that we need for godliness and service to Him in this life. And so while we are weak in and of ourselves, just as Peter denied Christ, as many other apostles fled when Jesus was arrested, we know we need the filling of the Holy Spirit in order to boldly witness for the gospel of Christ and not cower. In connection also with the filling of the Spirit, they spoke the word of God with boldness. And so they asked for boldness, and God gives them boldness. They asked for boldness to speak God's words and for miracles to confirm the truth of God's word. And God answered both of these prayers, as we shall see in the ongoing story in the book of Acts. May God give us grace and the comfort and the presence of the Holy Spirit to be God's witnesses in our day and in our age. Let us pray. Lord, we do pray that you would grant us courage to faithfully live out your gospel in word and deed. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and grant to us both wisdom, courage, and an ever-deepening knowledge of your holy word. For these things we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.